We kick off hour number three right here in the Fan Run studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. This is Three and Out. I'm Houston Kress alongside Davey Hudson with Tanner Carson filling in on the board today. Nate Hodges is probably somewhere between, like Nashville and... Do you go through Louisville to get to... Go through Louisville that way? To get to St. Louis?
I went through...
I'm not sure which way you went. I like going through Lexington and then up through... This is sneaky. When we went to the Sweet 16 game, we went through Cincinnati instead of Louisville because everybody from Lexington and Louisville was going to St. Louis that same day. It was genius.
I would go Nashville, then go up through Clarksville, Paducah, and then go up to Mount Vernon, Illinois, and then cut over.
Oh. I don't know if that's the fastest way. We should be
mapping. I don't know,
man. Does anyone MapQuest things anymore?
That's the way my grandfather took us, and he was all about timing.
I imagine there's going to be a lot of Tennessee fans leaving today or early tomorrow to get to Columbus. That's only 5 hours. It's really not that bad. It's only about, an hour longer than Columbia, South Carolina, which is the other location we had kind of hoped to be.
A little over four.
Not too bad. Not too bad. That's doable. That's an easy little run right there. Again, tomorrow, 2:45 tip. We'll be at Oakmont Exchange. This segment, however, brought to you by Gold's Gym. Davey, do you have the Gold's Gym tip of the day ready?
I do.
As people prepare to eat and drink excessively over the next, month, give or take.
Yeah. Today's fitness tip of the day. I was going to say ramp it up slowly.
Mm-hmm.
That goes more for when
that's
you're
like an NCAA tournament
out.
Plan.
But yeah. You don't want to just go out. Burn it out as soon as you
don't
get there
shoot.
And then don't have anything for, the rest of the weekend.
Don't empty the tank against Colgate. Save something for, Iowa or Cincinnati and then reload a little bit. And then same thing for Sweet 16 Elite Eight. I think that's great advice.
And whenever you're going for just work it out, if you're not a big fan of exercising, but you understand, hey, I need to do it. Make incremental changes each week. So, aim for a 20-minute workout at first and then slowly increase your time. Because, like I said, you don't want to go too far too fast. Because I think Nate has talked about how, he thinks he can just, whenever he tries to go back to the gym and maybe he's taking some time off, he just tries to get back into it like he was doing whenever he'd been at the gym for a while.
Good way to hurt yourself.
And he gets hurt, and he has to take more time off. But, yeah, Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. You can stop by any location, check out for a free tour. You can go online to goldsgym.com and download a free 3-day VIP pass. Their trainers, their staff, be more than happy to help you if you have any questions. And if you don't want to reach out to them, feel free to reach out to me. I'd be more than happy to give you some information to kind of help lead you along the way.
You're such a good liaison.
I try to be. I mean, they
a good representative of Gold's Gym.
They've helped me out a whole lot. Been a client since they've been in the area, and
won a little competition there.
Yeah, one 12-week challenge winner. And if it wasn't for the staff at Gold's Gym being willing to help me, I wouldn't have been able to do it. So if they can help me, they can definitely help you. So check them out. Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out.
What's your all's bracket routine? Is it different every year or is it the same? Are you a single bracket guy and you fill out the same one on all the challenges? Do you fill out multiple brackets with different winners?
I do two brackets.
Two. I am two as well. Were you about to say you do a one of what you think will happen and then what your heart's telling you?
So one is the Tennessee bracket and the other one is, I'll go chalk here.
What I did this year was, so I did one the other day where I just filled out in 5 minutes. And usually if you do that quick strategy that ends up actually working better than trying to analyze each particular matchup. But I did the second one this morning during the show. Thinking a little bit more about it, but not trying to overanalyze anything. But Davey, I had Duke winning in both.
Thanks, Tanner.
I came to that conclusion. I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry.
So you do two?
I do two, yeah.
Heart and head?
Heart and head. And I know right now Russell Smith tweeted out the link if you want to kind of get in where other Fox Sports Knoxville personalities have entered into. I believe Crown Cleaners is sponsoring that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll retweet it here in a bit, and I'm sure, I guess you got till noon today to get locked in.
I think that's right.
So a little less than 3 hours.
So you're both two bracket people.
What do you do?
I don't do a bracket.
Not at all?
Mm-mm.
See, here's my problem.
And people hate on that, and I'm not trying to be a hoity-toity, I'm better than you. I just, man, it makes watching the game so much more enjoyable. I have no stress. I just watch and enjoy.
I'm at the point to where I have peaked, and I don't believe I will ever have a better bracket, even though I continue to try.
You've definitely peaked.
I take it you're not going for the bracket talk there, but...
I'll leave it at that.
In 2015, humble brag, I had the Final Four right, the national championship matchup right, the national champion, and I predicted the final score. Won several hundred dollars off of that pool I had entered
into. I would
hope
so.
So, as far as topping that, granted, Duke also won that year, so I was happy that I won and a team I enjoyed to watch
won. So easy for me. I mean,
that was the year Kentucky was supposed to win it all, and I had Wisconsin upsetting
Kentucky.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying, if you're a Duke fan, like I would imagine, if there's one school that has like the majority of close to perfect brackets over the last two decades, it's probably a bunch of Duke fans.
If
just because you've won so many national championships.
I would have won $700 if Butler would have upset Duke in 2010. Yeah.
So you went against Duke in that one?
No, I had I had Duke losing in the national championship that game.
To Butler or not?
It wasn't
okay.
No one had Butler.
That's what I was wondering.
Had Butler that year.
But no, I'm a no bracket guy. I don't have to worry about, you know, my bracket getting busted or watching a game between Auburn and New Mexico State and really being torn up about, you know, my 32 teams, my 16 teams. I just get to sit back and watch a lot of basketball. You watch. At Oakmont today and tomorrow, it'll be a meaningless game. But somebody will have picked God knows who to go to the Elite Eight in a game that no one cares about, and then it doesn't happen, and they're so disappointed.
I understand where you're coming from, but I'm also kind of like the opposite when it comes to that now, especially if I don't have like money on the line. Like, I haven't done like a money pool this year. Like, the only thing I'm entered in is Russell's King of the Brackets. You know, it's like a no risk.
It's the money pool people that are going to be pulling their hair out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in this. It's a no risk, high reward type of thing. You win it, you get a lot of cool gift cards.
Are you eligible to win that?
I think yeah.
You need to check the.
I can check.
I need to check the rules. See what that's all
I didn't
about.
Think station people could do it, but apparently a lot of people here are in it. So I'm
interesting.
Like, might as well. But no, I think it makes like the random games more fun to watch. Like, I mean. At least from my perspective, if I don't have money on it,
I think
it's I can get the thrill of getting it upset correct.
I think I won. Did I win last year or 2 years ago? I'm trying to remember this. Villanova won last year.
Correct.
Did they win 2 years prior to that?
Yeah, they won. North Carolina won. Villanova won again.
I think the first Villanova national championship, I did do a bracket for the station. I think I won it. I think I won our big one. It wasn't the King of the Brackets. It was the one we did it was somebody else. I mean, we like hundreds of entries. I think I won that one because I had Villanova all the way. I'm pretty sure I was the champ. I definitely was the champ at the station because I had to, like, if Villanova had lost, Russell won. So, yeah, like, I think that's what it was. I won, and then I hung up doing a bracket forever. Now I just watch great basketball and enjoy it. Like you, I retired on top.
I didn't retire. That's the biggest problem. I should have. You got to know when to go out.
It's the Costanza rule.
Peyton knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, smart.
Best example.
Just leave now. You don't want to hang around long enough to see people hate you.
Yeah. Travis Cabbage tweets in, NC Central lost last night. My bracket is already shredded. Take it he had Duke going out round one. Sorry, Travis. Better luck next year.
I mean, if Duke loses, he's still sitting pretty. But, like, you have Belmont going to the Sweet 16?
Yes.
So, like, if Belmont loses to Maryland, you're going to be a mess.
I won't be a mess. I'll be fine. Like,
but you're going to be, like,
I'll be
living
rooting
and dying
for it
at the end of that game. See, I'm just going to be chilling. I'll be rooting for Belmont. But if they lose, I'm not sweating it. I'm not out anything.
I kind of like it. I mean, look, it's not like I'm putting down, like, $100 a game.
How do we feel about, like, 10 bracket guy?
It's just annoying at that point.
A psychopath.
Like,
just playing the odds.
What are you trying to do there? Like, if
play the odds. Like in the ESPN, you know, $1 million bracket challenge or whatever, can't you fill out as many as 10?
I didn't think there was a limit.
Really? Ooh. Aren't they trying to get, did they get their 10 million? Did you say they were trying to get 10 million brackets filled out by two nights ago?
I could see that.
They reach it? They were closing in quick. They were at 6 million and something on Tuesday. So 10 bracket guy, you're out on 10 bracket guy.
Well, now when you put it the way of like playing the odds, if it's something like that, a little more understandable.
Well, like, let
Well, that's kind of my question. Like, let's say you entered into King of the Brackets. Let's say there was another ESPN one, and then you entered into a money pool. Like, are you going to make sure that all three of those are the same? Or are you just kind of like, oh, yeah, it's close enough, and my winner is the same?
I'm fine with it. It's close enough, my winner is the same. If you're not verifying, like, I got to make sure I have it exactly the same. Because, like, I mean, do you feel obligated when certain people be like, hey, I want you to enter my bracket? Because I have a lot of people who are like, hey, we're doing this. And it's not necessarily like I'm having to put money in, but they're just like, hey, I want you to join this group I'm in. I'm like, all right, I'll do that. I mean, at least now with ESPN, they've made it to where you can just click the same bracket and just upload that to multiple groups.
Yeah, which is, you can actually just do that and enter, like, all open groups. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, you can just throw your bracket into every open group. So if you were to win one, there's a good chance you're going to win multiple.
Like, I don't like the spam emails you get from it, but like, yeah, the Warren Buffett, he's always kind of put up the
money.
He
doesn't do that anymore, does he? Was it $1 billion he offered?
It's what it was. I don't know if that's still on the table.
What's $1 billion for, like, a completely perfect bracket?
Which he did it forever, and now he doesn't do it anymore, which is weird because I feel like, I mean, I legitimately don't think it will ever happen. What did you say the Powerball was up to? Like, it's, aren't the odds worse than that to have a perfect bracket? Like, way, way, way worse?
So I want to say it's like 625, 655 for Powerball. No one won last night.
Yeah, like, I'd rather just, I'll play Powerball instead of trying to win a perfect bracket challenge.
Right here, quick Google about a perfect bracket.
See
odds.
How quick he is on Google, Davey? Notice that?
Your computer's messed up. My computer's messed up.
Get this. 1 in 9.2 quintillion odds.
For a perfect bracket.
Yes. 9.2 quintillion.
I'll just play Powerball. You're better off. Plus, that's only, what, six numbers? Come on.
This was made by a math professor at Duke, by the way.
See what I mean? Cheaters. Curtis Smith tweets in and says, no brackets when Tennessee has a legitimate chance to win it. Eyes on the prize. I think maybe that's part of it, too. I think years Tennessee has a legit chance. Like, when they're, you know, a 2-5 seed, I'm probably not going to fill out a bracket because it's bad luck in my head. Is it really bad luck? No, not at all. But there's something about having Tennessee in the championship and then when they're not in it. Like, I mean, the bias takes away the fun, and I just don't want to do that. But lately, I convinced Nate to do this either last year or 2 years ago. I went no bracket guy. People give you weird looks when you're no bracket guy. Like, oh, because, like, that's, you know, at Oakmont, that's what everybody's going to be asking. Like, oh, how's your bracket doing, bro? Hey, how far did you have Tennessee going in your bracket? Hey, who's your champion? Who'd you have in this game, bro? And I'm just like, I'm just enjoying it. Like, you're sweating. You're walking around pacing over, you know, Monmouth, St. Louis. Like, I'm just not going to do that, man. Like, I'm sorry. I'm just going to enjoy the scenery and the scenario. But, man, you get some bad looks. I would recommend everybody try it once. Go no bracket, man. It's like skinny dipping. Like, you're like, man, that's so weird. Why would I ever do? Oh, this isn't that bad. This is actually kind of nice. I feel so free.
But I'm a degenerate.
I mean, there are other things to do for degenerates. Besides, like, you're not gambling. You're just entering into potential winnings.
A little column A, a little column B.
Wait, so are you in a paid bracket challenge this year? Have you put your own money into a challenge?
I am verbally locked in to put my money into a bracket. I have not uploaded any funds yet, which I actually need to go do here in a bit.
So you definitely are going to do that, though.
I gave my word.
This Grunelval tweeted in his bracket, it's three regions of who cares, and then the Vols written six times. I've seen a lot of these. A lot of people just said, doesn't matter. Just put Tennessee in, they're going to win the whole damn thing. Sawyer Trey Smith says, I've filled out nine now, finally inking it. Does that mean he fills out nine and, like, picks the best of the nine and then goes with one final? Like, when you do multiple brackets, do you have one, like, but this is my real one? These are, like, this is my upset bracket. This is my Duke bracket. This is my Kentucky bracket. This is my Tennessee bracket. This is Tennessee bracket number two. And this is, you know, the Gonzaga bracket.
When you were working with the women's basketball team, did they tell you, like, not to fill out a bracket?
Oh, buddy, we had, there was a postseason meeting every year.
Okay, when I was with the athletic department, that's like, they just kept yelling.
They said,
like,
they said don't even fill it out. Don't even have one, because if someone sees it, they're going to think you're in some type of pool. It's awful. The rules that the NCAA puts on these kids and coaches as they travel, by the way, is absolutely ridiculous. Like, let's say practice is supposed to start at like 1 o'clock today for Rick Barnes. You get there 45 minutes early to stretch and stuff. If a player touches a basketball, and I mean on the rack, puts their index finger on the basketball at 12:22, the clock starts. Your two-hour practice time starts then, even if guys aren't off the bus yet. You can't drink a Coke out of a can. You have to pour it into an NCAA cup.
Oh, my God.
You can't use Gatorade bottles. They have to be either NCAA water bottles or they'll have a deal with, like, Powerade. So if a school is Gatorade and the NCAA has the deal with Powerade, you have to take the Gatorade, mix it in a Powerade cooler, and put it in a Powerade water bottle, even though your school is Gatorade. Like, watch it. They have to tear the labels off their bottles of water when they sit them on the like the media, the post sessions.
Another thing I've seen them make people do, it's like I'm trying to think. So Gatorade, that's so they got the deal like NCAA is like Powerade deal.
I don't know who it is
so
now.
So Powerade's Coke. So let's just say you got the Gatorade deal, which is Pepsi. I'm thinking that means Aquafina is like the water. So if you have like an Aquafina bottle, I've seen people like they'll put the water bottle in like just an NCAA like cup.
Yeah, put the bottle in the cup. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, just watch it when a coach comes up and he'll sit like in the post game and he'll just throw like a Pepsi can or a Mountain Dew, like whatever a coach drinks, and immediately this little ninja will come out and just like they'll be like, turn the camera off for a second. And here comes this little dude with like three cups and some ice and like, coach, pour this in here, please.
Here, it's orange vanilla Coke.
That was the other one. It's kind of weird. Orange vanilla, which is orange and white, Coke. You've got Tennessee as the NCAA like team theme on the bracket app, and now Werner Ladders is playing Rocky Top in their ad.
I'm not saying it's rigged, but I'm not saying it's not rigged.
Buddy, I hope it's rigged. I hope it's rigged for Tennessee to win it. That orange and vanilla Coke, that thing will sell out. I'll be the luckiest Coke in town. Have you had that yet, by the way?
I have not.
Apparently it's in the store.
I have.
Is it good?
It's pretty good. It actually...
Is it like creamsicle Coke? Like, is it worth drinking?
Yeah, weirdly enough, it actually smells better than it tastes, but it tastes pretty good, though.
Smells better than it tastes?
Yes, it has a really good smell to it. I don't know. I just sniffed it.
Good to know.
See what it smelled like. Yes, it does smell like a creamsicle.
I'm going to get more info off air about this orange vanilla Coke smell from Tanner. We'll come back. Winding down hour three. This is 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. So, Grant Williams is up there for National Player of the Year. My guess is he comes in second. Just a hunch. This is Zion Mania. But Davey, Rick Barnes is up for Naismith Coach of the Year. He made the final four coaches with an opportunity to win. Is it possible he could win this thing? Like, is it possible Rick Barnes gets a nod on this? Or are we going to finish, like, second or third in something else?
Well, I mean, it's possible.
Who are the other three, I guess, is what I'm really asking.
The other coaches up for National Coach of the Year, Chris Beard, Texas Tech, Tony Bennett, Virginia, and Kelvin Sampson, Houston.
You know, I think I like Barnes in that pool.
Well, I was just thinking, all these other coaches at least won some sort of championship for their conference this year. Got a little bit of a rundown about the finalists, and this is put out by the NCAA. For the first time in program history, Tennessee has spent the entire season ranked in the top 10 of the AP Top 25. That's actually an interesting stat, including the number one ranking for 4 weeks. Under the leadership of Barnes, the Vols have won a school record of 19 consecutive games this season. Barnes is one of six coaches ever to lead multiple schools to a number one ranking, joining Calipari, Frank McGuire, Rick Pitino, Eddie Sutton, and Roy Williams. He has led the Vols to become the number two seed in the South region of the NCAA tournament. And the just FYI, Werner is who is sponsoring the Coach of the Year.
Really?
Yeah.
So the same company that lifted Rocky Top also doing the Coach of the Year thing.
Here's
is that a sign?
Maybe. Read a little bit more about Barnes' competition, Chris Beard of Texas Tech. Beard led the Red Raiders to a 26-6 record and a regular season Big 12 co-championship. He was named Big 12 Conference Coach of the Year. In his second season as head coach, Beard led his team to the Elite Eight, where his team lost to the 2018 NCAA champions, Villanova. His Red Raiders are the number three seed in the West region. Tony Bennett, Virginia. Bennett has led Virginia to a 28-2 regular season record.
Say that's pretty good.
Wait, they're only
28-2 regular season?
28-2 regular season. Both those losses came to Duke.
Yep. Full strength Duke, I might add.
And the team's one was full strength.
Oh, that's right. Who was out for the first
Trey Jones.
That's right.
Duke didn't have a point guard. And the team's fourth Atlantic Coast Conference regular season title in 6 years, which they shared this year with North Carolina. He was named the ACC Coach of the Year for the fourth time. Bennett coached the Cavaliers to the ACC record with 5 ranked road wins this season. And he's the number one in the South for Virginia's. And Kelvin Sampson, the last finalist. Sampson was named the American Coach of the Year for the second straight year. He led the Cougars to a school record with 29 regular season wins and an outright conference championship. His team reached the top 10 in the national rankings for the first time since the mid-1980s. And Sampson's Cougars are the number three seed in the Midwest region.
When's the final vote for this? After the tournament? Like, does Rick Barnes still have the ability to make some ground up here?
I'm trying to find that. I'm not hearing it or seeing a date of when the announcement will come.
So it could be theoretically based on how your team does in the tournament? Possibly, or at least, you know, some votes could be swung in that regard.
Ah, yes. April 7th, 2019.
Okay.
Is when the award will be awarded.
They'll award the award then?
Yep.
It'll
be during the Final Four in Minneapolis.
I think I like Rick's chances against that crew. I think the voters are going to hold last year against Tony Bennett. And I think Texas Tech and Houston just probably not moving the needle enough. Rick Barnes, Tennessee, they've been a national storyline for, you know, most of the season.
It says the four finalists were chosen by the Atlanta Tip-Off Club's National Voting Academy, comprised of leading journalists from around the country, current and former head coaches, former award winners, and conference commissioners. All of whom based their selections on outstanding coaching performances during the 2018-19 college basketball season.
Are you guys worried about postseason Rick Barnes? The stigma? There is a stat that if he's been a 2 seed or higher, he's never not made it to at least the Elite Eight. So if we're using postseason stats, like that feels like one that should matter. But is that like in the back of your head, or is that just kind of like, whatever, that doesn't have any real effect?
It's going to be in the back of my head until I see.
Until it's not?
The end of round two and whoever we're playing, Cincinnati or Iowa, and Tennessee has more points at the end of the game. It'll be in my head because, what, he's not made it past the second round since 2008?
Yeah, 2007, 2008.
Yes, okay.
So, yeah, they got to the Elite Eight that year and 2 years before that at Texas, 05, 06, they got to the Elite Eight. Since then, it's been second round, first round, second round, first round, CBI, first round, second round, first round, and then there was obviously a 2-year break, his first 2 years here, and they went out last year, second round, against eventual Final Four team, Loyola Chicago.
I mean, the most telling stat for me with Rick is 1-7 all time in conference tournament championships.
Okay, but we're
past that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you count that as like postseason Rick Barnes, moving forward, has it been an issue with rotation? For those Texas teams, I can't really remember why that team did not perform well, and so I don't want to just put like a blanket statement on it. I mean, from taking a step back and looking, it's like, well, it's not great, but I need more information as to why it wasn't successful or if they came up short. Like, what's their record as far as games that they were supposed to win versus, like, were they upset big time by teams that really had no shot against them any other game, but it just happened to be played in the NCAA tournament.
So I'm looking, and this is kind of interesting. So at Texas, his two best regular season, well, I guess this may count, obviously, what they ended up doing in the tournament. But going into the NCAA tournament, this is actually Rick Barnes's best team ever as far as total wins.
Mm-hmm.
They have 29 wins right now. The year they made the Elite Eight, which would be three wins in the NCAA tournament, they only won 31 overall. So they went into the NCAA tournament with 28 wins. They won 30 in 2005-2006, which means they went into the NCAA tournament with 27 wins. And other than that, you know, he's been around that kind of like 20 to 26 mark, which is ironic because the year they went to the Final Four at Texas, which was 2002-2003, I mean, that means you won four games and they only had 26 wins total. So they were 22-6 going into the NCAA tournament. Only five losses this year for Rick Barnes. Obviously, the max now is going to be six. Rick Barnes has never had fewer than seven losses in a season. The year they went to the Final Four, seven losses. The year they went to the Elite Eight in 05-06, seven losses. The year they went to the Elite Eight, 07-08, seven losses, which means in the years that he has made it to the Elite Eight or Final Four, those teams entered the NCAA tournament with six losses. Tennessee right now, five losses. So mathematically, this is Rick Barnes' best team that he's taking into the NCAA tournament. By the way, that's five losses on the season, and they're playing more regular season games now than they were then.
In the 02-03 season where he made it to the Final Four, they were defeated by eventual national champions Syracuse Orange, which had Carmelo Anthony that season.
Do you remember the score of that game? Was that a good game? Did they hang in with
Syracuse, Texas?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like a 14-point Syracuse win.
I mean, Syracuse was
like
awesome.
95-81
that year. I was just
something
curious.
Like that.
But like just looking again, I think Elite Eight is probably where most people are landing as far as is this season a success or not. In 01-02, when they made the Sweet 16, that team finished 22-12. Obviously, the Final Four team in 02-03, they finished 26-7. They went to the Sweet 16 again in 03-04. That team finished 25-8. And then the Elite Eight years, obviously, they had 30 and 31 wins apiece. So this team, with 29 wins and only five losses, the most wins heading into an NCAA tournament for Rick Barnes and the fewest losses heading into an NCAA tournament for Rick Barnes.
It was an 11-point Syracuse win.
11? Okay.
95-84.
Ooh, high scoring affair.
I knew they scored 95, but
I think I feel better now after reading these. I mean, he took Clemson to a Sweet 16 in 96-97. That team was 23-10. Guys, this is Rick Barnes' best team.
Like when he made the Elite Eight in 06, he ended up getting beat by LSU, who, I mean, that was the same LSU team that knocked out number one seed Duke.
That was Big Baby, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm worried about postseason Rick Barnes. I think this team's good, and I think our matchups are quite favorable, probably until you were to face a Virginia. And the only do we think it was coaching versus Auburn, or do we think it was just a tired team that was gassed after beating Kentucky? Like, do you blame coaching? I think there were some mistakes, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if Tennessee doesn't switch any screens that they beat that Auburn team that day.
Like, I'm not holding Rick Barnes for his team not holding on to the ball.
Right, like there are certain things you can do as a coach to put your team in a position, but if they're just fumbling it to the other team, if they're traveling, if they're just passing it out of bounds, like that's not on Rick Barnes, especially when that's something that this team has been like the opposite of in big games typically. We talked about the last two matchups against Kentucky, like the ball control, like protecting the basketball was at an unbelievable level. And, you know, Auburn matchup-wise, like, that's what they do. They force a ton of turnovers. Like, I don't know if they're ranked number one, but damn, they're up there. And then they break the SEC tournament record and hit 15 threes. It was just kind of a perfect storm. But I don't know that that's, like, all Rick Barnes. I mean, like, some of those threes are 5, 6, 7 feet behind the line. Like, you almost don't want to be out there with a hand in their face. It's like kind of stupid.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going through and just looking at all these different years where he was at Texas and he took the team to the tournament, and at least where they made it far, like it wasn't like a letdown. Like, yeah, I mean, they got beat to really good teams.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, like, I would basically equivalate that to us losing to Virginia in the Elite Eight. Like, if that was to happen, like, I'm not going to be happy. Granted, there's ways it could happen, but it's like, I mean, that's a team that
That's not a bad loss.
Yeah, I mean, like, they lost two regular season games.
I would love to do a breakdown, especially while he was at Texas, of how far the team they eventually lost to ended up going. Like, how many times did he lose to a team that lost in the next round versus how many times did they lose to a team that was, like, in a run or that got hot or got to a Final Four or an Elite Eight, that type of thing. Because I'm not saying it's necessarily a luck thing, but you know, sometimes you just get really, really bad pairings and matchups. And this year, I just don't see that in this bracket until you would face a Virginia and maybe a Villanova from a matchup perspective, just because they shoot a ton of threes.
It doesn't look like, man, most of these losses I'm seeing him have, like, yeah, it's
pretty good teams.
Yeah. Like, I'm just going through the years now. Like, I mean, 2009, he got beat by the two-seeded Duke. Like,
I mean, that's not a bad loss.
I haven't seen one yet. Like, granted, I mean, I'm just not going through it, but
I mean, I'm sure,
I'm shocked.
I'm
like,
sure,
oh,
some Texas fans will be like, oh, well, the year we lost to the blah, blah, blah,
yeah, they'll be able to pull it out. Yeah. Like,
but it just seemed like if you lose to good teams, you lose to good teams. Granted, he was also a good team in a lot of these years, but he's never had a team quite like this. We'll look and see during the break if there's been just like woefully bad losses for Rick Barnes in the NCAA tournament. Again, we're going to be at Elkmont today starting at about noon for all the day's action. And then tomorrow, same thing, and Tennessee tips off 2:45. CBS will be there. Come join us. Next segment, right after this. Sail. 19 minutes to go in this show. Davey, then we turn our eyes to the NCAA tournament at Oakmont Exchange. Are you excited?
This is honestly, I'm trying to think of a sporting event that I enjoy more, like even when I don't have.
Like, is this first weekend or is it the first 2 days for you?
First weekend.
Okay.
But even like if I don't have a team involved, this is by far like the most interested I will be in a sporting event all year.
Sure.
Like, I get more hype for this.
It does just
NCAA
steal your attention.
Championship in football, the Super Bowl. Like, I would say without a doubt, yeah, this is what I live for in the sporting world for the sports calendar.
So we did a little bit of digging, not entire digging, because
I'll have more afterwards. I'll try to compile.
Well, yeah,
some
like
stuff.
You got to just dig in a bunch of different places to kind of find this. It's a lot of forwards and backwards on your link clicks. But when Rick Barnes has been a one or a two seed, right? Because typically in those situations, your matchups are favorable until you run into a one. He's made the Elite Eight twice and a Final Four. His losses in the NCAA tournament, just in our quick, you know, gander, have usually come to teams seeded higher and in some cases much higher than his Texas Longhorns. I mean, one of the years they were a two seed, they ended up losing to number one seed Duke. Now, they did get thrashed in that game. But, I mean, I think that was 2005. Duke won it all, did they not?
No.
Yikes.
Duke won it in 2000, 2001, and the 15, or 14, 15
UNC
season.
UNC won in 05.
Oh, well, this was regular season in 2005. So, that wasn't tournament. I thought I clicked a tournament link, but apparently they're just throwing everything in here. The only point being that, you know, everyone says postseason Rick Barnes is bad, but it kind of looks like the regular season setting you up for under-seeded teams going into the NCAA tournament was part of your problem. What that really means is that none of those teams were quite as good as this team. But when you were a one seed or a two seed at Texas and you were Rick Barnes, you got to the Elite Eight or you got to the Final Four. And we've talked about it. I think the NCAA tournament, I mean, really for everybody, there are a couple of exceptions each year, but it's all about matchups. And I think we've all kind of looked at Tennessee's, you know, half of their bracket. And then really, even if you
look ahead to the Elite Eight against a potential matchup with Virginia, that these aren't matchups that really terrify you, assuming Tennessee can play their B plus game until you got to a game against Virginia where you would definitely need your A or A plus game. I didn't see a lot of upsets, you know, getting beat by a no-name who was not very good and then lost the next round. In fact, a lot of these years, he lost to teams that were really good and, you know, kind of made their way to the Elite Eight or the Final Four after beating Texas. So maybe this Rick Barnes postseason fear is completely misguided. Again, because Tennessee comes in as a 2 seed. They were one really bad game against Auburn away from being a 1 seed. I just think the Auburn, like having to play Auburn twice in the last week of your regular season and obviously the SEC tournament, like that right now has a bitter taste in a lot of people's mouth and probably nationally as well. But even then, you look at some of the prognosticators. I mean, Tennessee is a pretty popular pick to make it to the Elite Eight / Final Four by people who at least typically, you know the game of basketball.
His best run at Clemson was in 1997, and that year he got beat by the number one seeded Minnesota Golden Gophers. And Minnesota, you don't really associate them with having a good basketball program, but I mean, that year they made it to the Final Four and got beat by Kentucky. Which, yeah, I mean, yeah, remember, well, Kentucky had good teams in the 90s.
I just think maybe some of this Rick Barnes bad in the postseason is a little, like, I understand looking at the record, and you would probably expect Rick Barnes to have a better postseason record kind of in general. But the thing is, like, we remember, you know, Aldridge and Durant and Ford, but, like, those Texas teams weren't great teams. They had a star or two, with the exception of those teams that were, you know, number one and number two seeds, and those were the teams that he took to the 8 and the 4. Other than that, I just think it was a case of maybe the teams weren't that good, and because you had done it before, obviously Texas fans were getting worn out, and they're kind of reaping what they sowed with Shaka Smart right now. And I think maybe we need to kind of, I don't want to say give him a pass, but maybe hold off on the what's the deal with Rick Barnes in the postseason. Does it? Now, you could also argue the opposite, like, well, then why hasn't he been one of these underseeded, decent teams who goes on a big run? But that's not Tennessee's case this year. This is what you want. Like, this is you're the high seed. You're going to be favored in your first 3 games, and then you're going to have a matchup against either a team that's made a run or Virginia, who is seeded ahead of you.
Yeah, the lowest seed I've, as far as getting to the Sweet 16 for Rick Barnes, he had a 6-seeded Texas team in 2002, I believe, make it to the Sweet 16.
Okay. I mean, I get it, right? Like, you look at the record and you think postseason, and obviously last year everybody was disappointed with that loss to Loyola Chicago, but I think when we kind of peel back a couple layers of this onion, it's like, huh, this really isn't as bad as the numbers would indicate. The thing is, you just went into the postseason with teams that weren't quite that good, and when you ran up against a team that was seeded 3 or 4 lines higher than you, that team typically won, and a lot of those games we were looking at, they were close. They were good games. It's not like he was coming in and getting shelled every year by, you know, a Wofford or a Monmouth or a St. Louis. Like, he's losing to teams, again, that went to the Elite Eight, that went to the Final Four, that played for and or won a national championship. I mean, losing to Virginia would stink, but if they win the national championship, you don't feel quite as bad, right? Like, losing to Loyola Chicago last year sucked. But then you see they make the Final Four, you're like, ah, well, maybe they're not that bad. You still should have beat them, but I think it does at least take a little bit of that sting away. I think I'm gonna pump the brakes a little bit on Rick Barnes being bad in the postseason.
04, this is actually the biggest upset I have seen for his time while he was anywhere other than Tennessee. But 3-seeded Texas team got beat by the 7-seeded Xavier team in the Sweet 16. Xavier went on to get beat by 3 points to Duke in the Elite Eight, and that Duke team ended up getting beat by the national champion Connecticut.
I mean, obviously Xavier was pretty good, right? If they're going to go toe-to-toe with Duke in the next... I'm just saying, like, I think maybe this number got overblown and some of the details under the number got overlooked. Final segment. One more, and then I'm going to go watch a lot of basketball. Sound good? Tanner Carson just crushing it. Final segment. little parabola to send you into your NCAA tournament viewing extravaganza, which starts in about 2.5 hours. So you got 2.5 hours to pretend to work, pretend to get stuff done, and then come up with some type of excuse to leave for the rest of the day. Could not recommend it more. Don't forget to come join us today, tomorrow, and Sunday at Elkmont Exchange off of Broadway downtown. It is delicious food, amazing beer. They do have a full bar, and they've got a bunch of TVs that are going to be watching basketball all weekend long. Excited to get out there today. It's optional. Going to do their broadcast today. The Drive going to do their broadcast today from Elkmont Exchange. And then tomorrow, they're going to do It's Optional. Take a break for the Drive because, of course, Tennessee plays at 2:45. And then Russell Smith going to jet back over here after the game and start up voluntary reaction probably right around 5 o'clock. Should be a really exciting weekend. I'm excited. I am more excited about tomorrow's slate of games than I am today's, but that's probably good because now I just get to sit back and chill, watch a little bit of basketball, eat some food, have a beverage or two. Should be a really, really good day for basketball.
Any other storylines that don't necessarily have to be basketball? I mean, I feel like we've gave the people 2 hours and 45 minutes of basketball talk.
Well,
today.
I mean, today's the day to do that, but I'm with you.
That's just stands out to you, like, oh, we probably should have mentioned that.
Not really for me. Did you have one other than Bob Kraft taking the plea deal?
No.
Did people really think he didn't take
the plea deal.
What his plea deal was going to be 100 hours of community service, is that right?
I want to say that was part of it, but he did have to admit he was guilty. Obviously, I mean, when you take a plea deal, that's part of it.
I mean, buddy, isn't there video? Like, isn't that part of this deal is they have it on video and he doesn't want that video to be released? I mean, that seems like kind of I hate to use the term caught red-handed, but like, you know, if it's on video, man, I think you probably should just take the plea deal. Say, yeah, I'm old. I was confused. I didn't know what was going on. I don't have any feeling below my heart because I'm a patriot. You know, like you could have gone a few different ways with that if you're Bob Kraft.
Yeah, I mean, that's primarily the main thing he's fighting for at this point. He just doesn't want the video to be released. And I believe as far as the most recent deal that prosecutors had put forth, they're like, this is going to be part of it, but I don't know. You'll see that continue to be battled.
He's officially filed a motion to suppress evidence. Isn't that like,
don't blame him.
Can you explain how that works? Like, how do you just, if you're trying to maintain your innocence and you say, please suppress the evidence that proves my guilt, like, there just seems to be like a conflict here.
What do you mean exactly?
Well, I mean, it's evidence.
Yeah.
Like, it's on video. Can they still use the evidence, or is he just like, is he saying, yes, there's evidence, but please don't release it to the public?
That's where he's at. Think about,
well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
but
thank Joe Mixon. Like,
no, sure,
that
yeah.
was different, but it was the judge, like, they didn't want any of that video to get out of him hitting that woman.
But like,
it's different
to the public. You mean? Yes. Yeah.
But that's different because like they tried to.
Are you surprised he didn't take the plea deal? If there's
there's still a chance he can take one. Like, he's at the point.
He wants a different one.
Yeah, he wants a different one. Like, they're going to continue to battle it out. Like, ultimately, like, he's not going to have anything that's going to be damning happen to him. That it's not going to get worse than it already is. And I expect that video to get leaked one way or another, whether he wants it to or not.
I would imagine. I mean, this is America. Like, we can transfer digital files with the click of a button. Like, that thing is getting out. In fact, he should probably not suppress it because at least the video that gets released will be like the blurred version. Somebody's going to, if he does this, man, someone's going to release the real thing, and he probably really doesn't want that. You don't want your...
I don't know who wants to go and watch that.
But people will. And then, like, you know, there'll be people who write weird articles about it, like, well, you have a lot of money, but I think you would want the blurred version. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want my junk just, like, out there. All, you know, especially in that type of scenario.
Yes, I think most people could agree.
You know, because he was in a room and she, you know, was
it's
pleasuring
one of the stories.
Him.
Yeah, well, I mean,
is it dark in the room? Like, maybe, I don't know, maybe the video itself wouldn't be that bad. I'm not, the incident
is bad.
I would
say it's darker. I mean, when you
didn't
typically
he go
get
twice
a massage
in the same day?
You gotta stay relaxed.
Like, how can
it was like within a span of like 16 hours. Yeah, twice. And then went up to Kansas City for the AFC title game.
What was it you said, David? Just relieving a little stress, man. He was nervous about the game. He was worried. God, Bob. Yeah, I guess I don't blame him for suppressing the evidence, but man, this just doesn't seem like it's a very good idea. Good thing this happened now and not like during the season, because now no one cares. Now everybody's interested in basketball. I know I am. Today, Elkmont Exchange, again, we'll be there from noon and then for the duration today, tomorrow. We're taking a break on live shows during the Tennessee game, but afterwards and before, it's going to be absolutely lit. Talk Sports is next. John Reed, Cody McClure. See you at Elkmont Exchange. Enjoy your NCAA tournament viewing.